Hey guys. Hey peers. All right, I'm gonna get Hey peers, this is the Pears. And today your hosts are going to be Nikori and Isabella. And we're going to be talking about
we're gonna be talking about inequality and privilege.
Prejudices as well.
We love juices. Mm-hmm. Prejudices. First off, let's talk about what is privilege and how does it affect society?
The definition of privilege is the unearned advantage we get from having being part of a dominant group whose needs have been traditionally prioritized. I wouldn't say it's a negative, in fact, per se, because the person that gets the privilege is obviously at an advantage. That leads to disadvantages for others who don't have the privilege. So that's how it could be negative.
I'd say that the United States is kind of like a special case, because here this like entire country is just built off of immigration, since we kind of like, you know, kicked the native people to the side. I'm sorry, Kenny. But for some other countries where maybe immigration wasn't as prominent, or where it's primarily just like one ethnic or just like one religious group, I feel like here a lot of the times privilege is given to a certain race, which is usually, you know, prominently white people. But in some countries, it's mostly based off of class.
But I feel like in the United States, it's like given to a whole bunch of different groups depending on like the area that you're in.
Where you are.
Yeah, where you are. Or like what you're trying to do. Because we had an example. One of the examples that it gave me was a white woman has privilege because of their race, but are at a disadvantage because of their gender. And then, oh yeah, when it comes to for jobs, for interviews, a study has shown that replacing a woman's name with a man's name on a resume increased the odds of being hired by more than 60%.
What I think is really funny is that like this country used to be super racist. Like it's still kind of racist, but it's not as racist as it was before. They hated black people, but they were like,
okay, well, we don't hate them as much as we hate women.
Yeah.
So they granted black men like the rights to vote and stuff. Mm-hmm. Before they granted it to women, they were like,
women are too stupid.
Yeah.
Well, I don't agree. I would just say, yeah, because they did that.
No, but I think it's funny.
Yeah. And it's like, and then if you were a black woman, you had it really, yeah, really hard.
Yeah,
that's
just
crazy.
Bad. It was just bad. What have been our experiences with privilege? So kind of like in our lives.
I know what privilege means, but like privilege in school.
Or we can talk about when we see different privileges being given in school. And it doesn't have to be based off of race or based off of gender. Mm-hmm. It can just be based off of like, well, you're performing good in this class, so I'm going to treat you better than a person that is doing bad in my class, you know?
Do we count like connections too?
Social connections, yeah.
Okay. So, because at Tempe, there's like a bunch of people that are cool with security guards.
Yeah.
And they, whenever a security guard catches someone else late, they get in trouble. But if they catch one of the kids they're cool with late, they like drive them to class. It's cool and everything. And I'm just like, dang. I don't be late, so it doesn't affect me. But that's crazy.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll see that, not to criticize teachers, but sometimes I'll see that depending on what teacher you'll get, like my example from before, if you're performing badly in their class, instead of like taking the time to like go slowly with you, run through the process and try to really understand what you're going through, they'll sometimes treat you like less of a student just based off of how you're doing in the class. Like instead of taking the time to be patient with you, they'll just treat you poorly, and then you just kind of have to like deal with the class yourself. When it's like, wait, aren't you supposed to be helping me with this subject?
Like, are you talking about like just how you're performing grade wise or performing in the class overall?
I'm talking about grade wise because there are some people that like don't pay attention,
yeah,
and don't really
noise.
Care about the mm-hmm. yeah, like
disrupt the class
and are rude to the teacher. Mm-hmm. And like, but that, okay, I get why a teacher would be rude to them or not try with them as hard, even if I might not necessarily agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's understandable.
Yeah, it's understandable. Like, you're only human, and if somebody's treating you badly, then you treat them badly too. Like, it's a human response. But with some people, they try really hard to understand the class.
Mm-hmm.
They do all the homework assignments, they take notes, they might you know, go to tutoring after school. They might look at some videos online to help themselves. And then the teacher, they might not know all the stuff they're doing after school, but, you know, they see them taking the notes and stuff. And they see how they perform on a test. Like, they might get, like, a really bad grade. And instead of helping them, they kind of just, like...
Oh, I guess you're just not trying.
Or, I don't know. I don't know what the thought process is behind that. Like, oftentimes I end up being, like, a teacher's pet, or teachers end up being okay with me. But I usually try pretty hard in all my classes. Mm-hmm. And, like, I pay attention and I answer questions and all that. But some people... Like, you know, they don't want to speak up, even if they care about the class, or maybe they don't care. But I don't know. It's just like there's so many factors that go into how people treat you, you know?
Yeah. Ooh. All right. There were two more examples, but they both involve resumes. All right. Another example is replacing a black sounding name, quote unquote, with a quote unquote white sounding name resulted in 50% more callbacks. And a candidate having something on their resume suggesting them being an LGBTQ ally resulted in fewer callbacks.
It's actually funny you mentioned that, because I knew this person who had like an accent in their name because mm-hmm. they were a Hispanic person. And I saw that she oftentimes didn't spell it with an accent. And I was like, why is that? She was like, oh, it was because people see an accent in my name. They won't hire me, you know, the implications of my race. So I just decided to take the accent out, even though you pronounce it with an accent.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's crazy.
And yeah. What were you talking about? That's like the police officer example you gave me?
Oh, okay. So me and him were talking about, you know, because this episode is about inequalities, prejudice, and, you know, like societal factors. So I created an example. So... if you're watching this and you don't know what we look like, I'm white.
I'm black.
He's black. And so I created an example. A police officer pulls us over. One of the officers is Mexican. The other one is white. Let's say we were just driving above the speed limit. And when he pulls us over, he notices that we have like really puffed up red eyes. He pulls us over. And he notices that. And we act the exact same way in both scenarios, depending on which officer is pulling us over. It doesn't matter. So we both act politely. We, you know, answer all his questions. The white police officer might be nicer to me because I look white. But when he's talking to Nakuri, he might have a prejudice against black people because of his own experiences with black people and his own experience with how, you know, media represents black people. He might think that they're slackers or that they just don't care. And so even though Nakuri is responding well to the questions and he's being polite, he might notice things that aren't there. Like, because of his perception of black people, he might be like, his eyes are red and puffed up. He must have been smoking weed or something like that. So he might look for little indications that aren't really there that could... like, you know, I don't know. He might be looking for little micro facial features or like the tone of your voice.
Yeah.
So he can have an excuse like, okay, come back to the police station with me. So now in the situation where he pulls me over, the white police officer, he might be nicer to me. He might be like, oh, her eyes are red and puffed up. She must have just been crying.
Yeah, it was a rough day.
So... he's nicer to me and he lets me go. But now let's go to the situation where we have the Mexican police officer. So the Mexican police officer pulls us over, and in his mind, he has more in common with a black person because in American society, black people and Mexican people are treated very similarly. So he might be more sympathetic to him and he might be like, this is somebody that I associate with. You know, I can tell that he's just been crying. I'm going to be nice to him and I'm gonna let him go. But with me, he has a bad experience with white people, you know, with how, you know, the society that they've set up. So he might think that I'm just acting politely because, you know, I wanna get out of it. He might look for indications that I'm maybe snobby. He might look for slacker traits and me, as in I'm trying to get out of it, or I'm only being polite to get away, or just any little thing that implies you've had privilege in your life and you know it, and that's why you're acting this way. So you can take advantage of that privilege that society views you better just because of your skin color. So he might try to be like, oh, you've been smoking weed, I'm gonna need you to take a drug test back at the police station, come with me. They're both like very like extreme situations, I feel, but they've probably happened.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Some people get really mad about like these inequalities, you know, all these little social factors that come into play in school, in your job, in sports or whatever. For my next question, it's how do people around us interact with societal inequality? How do they interact with it? Are they angry about it? Do they not really care? Do they not notice?
I feel like they definitely notice. It's like they try to work past it. Because you have to try a lot to work past it because you're like at a disadvantage. Some people can successfully do it, like easily. Well, not easily because you're still working hard, but they can do it. And some people, they just can't. Maybe they just give up trying to do it and they just blame the system.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
I see it a similar way too. Have you ever met somebody that blames like a lot of their problems on their disadvantage?
I've never met anybody, but I know it happens.
Because I've been around a lot of people where they might be, you know, part of the LGBTQ community and they blame how they're treated in society. They blame it all on that one thing. Or I've met people from certain races that will blame all of their problems for them being born. Yeah.
Like, I know what you mean.
Yeah, black person in America. Yeah,
The bus. Oh my goodness. When you said meet people, I was thinking like actually know them and everything. But when you ride public transport, oh my goodness, you learn a lot of things. You see a lot of people. They just like to yap their problems.
they just don't care anymore.
Yes, they just vent their problems to everyone and anyone that could hear. And they just be like arguing with nobody. It's crazy. They like argue with themselves. They'd be like, yeah, I'm born this and that. I'm at a disadvantage and everything. Yeah, I know what you mean. This was last year. And he tried to rope me into it. Oh my goodness. It's some black dude, right? Okay. And I'm black too. So he tried to rope me into it. He's on the bus. He's arguing with the bus driver. And I think it was because he was on for free. And he just said he needed to be dropped off at like the next stop. And he didn't get off at the next stop. And then when the driver was like, you have to get off, right? He was like, it's because I'm black, right? I'm like, and dude starts looking at me all the way. I'm sitting all the way in the back of the bus. He's sitting in the front of the bus. And he was like, you're not going to say anything? I'm like, what am I supposed to say? Like, I'm not going to say anything. Like, I paid to get on a bus. Like, you do the same. But yeah. I see what you mean.
So there's people that will blame all their problems on being that, or there's the people who know that they're going to be at a disadvantage because of that. And so, okay.
They work harder?
Yeah, they either work harder or they try to be more like the dominant.
Yeah. That's right. Some people have like a white voice.
Yeah.
Whenever they're like on the phone. And I peeped that recently. And I was like, wow, I didn't know that.
I actually, I don't remember where I saw this, but I saw this video where it was two black men and they were telemarketers. Mm-hmm. So one of them was like, I don't know, in his 60s. The other one was in his 20s, early 20s. Mm-hmm. So the younger one, he was calling people. He was talking in his normal voice. And a lot of the people that he called just didn't respond well. They were like,
no, I don't want whatever you're selling.
And he was just like not making any sales. Yeah. The other guy was like, you gotta use a wider voice. And then the other guy was like, what do you mean use a wider voice? What are you talking about? So then the older guy, you know, calls on the phone and he makes like a very white voice.
Yeah.
I don't know how to describe it. I don't really know how to describe like how voices make different sounds.
Yeah, but you can tell.
Yeah,
you can tell.
So he uses a, quote, wider voice, and then he starts making a lot more sales. So then he tells the younger guy, sees this, and it's like, are you for real? So he uses the wider voice, and then he also starts making a lot of sales. There is a cultural term for this. There is this thing called that you might have heard of called acculturation, defined as process through which a person or group from one culture comes to adopt the practices and values of another culture while still retaining their own culture. And there are five steps to this. One of them is assimilation, and there's this thing called code switching between communities.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
we can come back to that. There's marginalization, which is pushing aside both old and new culture. And there is transmutation, placing an importance on both cultures and combining them to make a new one. So you don't notice this about me by just looking at me, but I'm Mexican and I immigrated from Mexico 10 years ago, almost 11 now. And I noticed this a lot between just me and my siblings, because my oldest brother was 13 when we moved. My other brother was like in the fourth grade, so I want to say like 8 or 9, and I was 5 years old when I moved to the United States. My oldest brother, so he kind of code switches between the two communities, and my middle brother, I wouldn't say he's assimilated, but he's definitely more into the American culture. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know which one I am, because I grew up a lot with like American values and, you know, how an American society works. Even though I moved here, I still visit Mexico at least once a month. So I would like notice Mexican culture, and then I would notice American culture. And I feel like I'm also, my parents raised me to be very like protected. For example, instead of looking for communities that had like, you know, the most Hispanic culture, or, you know, where I can be around people that are also Mexican, they looked for the places that, you know, would give me the best opportunities. And a lot of the times, the places that give you the best opportunities are the communities that are prominently more white. Because, for example, Tempe is a lot of, you know, Black students, Hispanic yeah. students, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they looked into living over there, but they ultimately decided, because when they were looking for where to live, they were looking at the high schools, and they ended up deciding on Desert Vista because it had like the best reviews in the district. And Desert Vista is a prominently more white community. And that's another inequality that we can talk about right there.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that code switching. Code switching.
Code switching?
Because I feel like a lot of people they might know what it is, but they don't realize how often they do it. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like just from leaving your house to like go to a store or like to go anywhere, there's going to be other people. You're always code switching. Because I feel like every time I leave my house to go to a store or to go to school, I don't talk the same way at home that I do at school or like anywhere else for that matter. And I feel like no one else does either. Especially if you're going to like a place of work. Yeah, you're always going to be code switching because like at work you have all these standards you have to meet. Well, not standards, but requirements that you have to fit into. So you have to talk to customers differently and everything. And yeah.
I've also just noted code switching, you know, going back to that school setting between different students. We've talked about this a lot just between us and the group, that we'll notice, you know, the same people, like, you know, we have a lot of the same people in all our classes. So there are students that, you know, you'll notice and you'll see how they act around some friends and then how they act around other friends. Because code switching isn't necessarily completely based off of what race you are or what religion you have. It's also like your personalities mm-hmm. in different settings. And it's very interesting seeing how people feel like they need to switch to integrate themselves into different groups, you know?
But I feel like some people should switch more often. It's not a bad thing, but you shouldn't talk to your friends and homies the same way you talk to like your teachers and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like it's beneficial to code switch or to be able to know how to code switch. So yeah.
It is. My problem with it is when you don't know how to distinguish yourself between your switches.
Yeah, because if you're like switching and then you get back home and you don't like switch back, you're just becoming, it's like you're becoming someone else mm-hmm. and you're like no longer being yourself, and it's for what?
Which we can go deeper into this and what is the self? Who are you really? But that's a very like philosophical, you know, kind of psychological topic, and we're not talking about psychology. This is sociology. Very much. Next up, we should probably talk about prejudice, because that's another very, very important thing on
Yes, it is.
So How would you explain prejudice?
Womp womp.
To like a child.
To a child.
Like baby it down for me.
Baby it down. Prejudice is a form of degrading, in a way, would you say?
Yeah.
Degrading a group, in a way?
It could be, yeah.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't necessarily have to be degrading, because I know that some people have like a prejudice that like all Jewish people are rich and are stealing like all the money, yeah, or whatever.
I would just say like it's a
stereotype.
Stereotype. Yeah.
How would you say, let's say you met somebody and they were super prejudiced against one of your friends for their race or gender or whatever it may be. How would you get them, would you try to change their mind, or how would you get them to kind of like open their worldview?
I would just say, don't take everything for face value. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna make assumptions about something, learn about it first. Or don't make assumptions about something that you don't know.
Sometimes we like make assumptions because we think we know them, but we don't. What have been times where you met somebody and you were like, oh, this person is going to be exactly like this? And it doesn't have to be based off of like race or gender, but just like the way they dressed, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Well, based off the way they dressed alone, or like based off?
It can be anything. Whatever fits. Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know. He's about to talk to him about me, guys.
Back on the first day of school, I thought Isabel was going to be a nerd. Turns out,
I am.
She is. It's okay.
Back on the first day of school, I thought that you were going to be mean.
I am.
You are. Okay, no. So, Akai isn't mean. Well, he is. So, what I mean by that is that Akai, like, you can get a lot out of a first impression of somebody, but don't make it be everything. Because he did surprise me. I thought you were going to be, like especially, like, rude. Like, you were going to, like, pick on, like, you know those...
Disney Channel bullies?
Yeah, not Disney Channel bully, but... Like, I've had many experiences where there will be somebody that is, you know, usually it's somebody that's, like, really athletic. Mm-hmm. And they'll pick on me just because they think I'm a pushover and will let them, like, say anything to me. And they'll be, like, they'll say really dumb things, too. It's not, like even good bullying, if that makes sense. I'm really sorry to anybody that's been bullied out there, because that sounds really, like... wrong, but it's not even like anything creative. So yeah, I guess it is kind of Disney Channel bullying, because I guess that's what people are in real life, at least to me.
What happened to bullies?
That's a really good question. Bro.
Like, come on, dude. If you're gonna bully someone, how about we give them a swirly? All right, that's
But I thought you were gonna be like one of those type of people, and instead you're just really sassy and are always watching anime or like playing, I don't know, some Clash Royale. You don't play Clash Royale.
I do.
He's playing Clash Royale while we're supposed to be working. And like, he gets his work done. He does. It's just, he's multitasking.
It is a real thing, yes.
If we could do it all over again, if we could, what did we do that changed our views on each other? We were kind of forced to be around each other, to be honest.
Yeah, that was
TBH.
It. That was really it. Even before you were in my group, when you were still in your other group, I was like, yep, that's a nerd. Which is okay. Being a nerd is okay. I'm a math nerd too, but I'm just a math nerd.
Yeah, he is kind of a nerd. Like, you used to have an old pair of Crocs. I think they were like your black ones or something. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he had like Harry Potter things on it. Oh, and yeah. Like, I think you had Spider-Man things on it. You had Potter, other stuff. Spider-Man, and I was just Marvel, like, bro.
All of them. I am literally the biggest geek in the
ISC. He is kind of a geek, because we have a friend here that, like, they'll sometimes meet up and they'll just talk about anime, and they'll be like,
have you seen that new episode, bro? Bro, that was crazy. And when he, what?
And I'll just be like, man, must be nice.
I'll be yelling. I'll be passionate.
I just brain farted.
Yeah, you look like you were thinking something really good. I saw your mouth the words, and then they just...
They died.
Yeah.
They died on my lips.
They didn't have any your volume.
They didn't.
You were muted, but you were talking.
You know those people that from the get-go you feel like, oh, this person and I, we're gonna get it. So you instantly come in at like 100%. The reverse also works. You're just like, this person is gonna be really easy to take advantage of, because look, I don't wanna seem bad, but you when you look at somebody and you are seeing the outline of the person they are, you can kind of see if they're going to be a person that is going to be very confrontational and very upfront about what they want, or somebody that's going to let you walk, or not let you walk over them, but would rather, but doesn't want to cause a lot of conflict, kind of wants to keep a nice people united pleaser. Front. Yeah, people pleaser. And there are like varying levels of it, but you can tell when somebody is really like super stubborn, will not let you change their mind, or when somebody's like super people pleaser, will not tell you when something is wrong with them. So when you're able to scope that out really quickly, you might come in with your personality at 100%, where if they didn't present themselves like that, you wouldn't do that, because like they're not gonna say anything about it, because you've done that before, right? We've all done it. I feel like we've all done it. Like you've seen somebody that's like either super people pleaser,
oh, or yeah,
like super, you know, has a very big personality, so you kind of like pull back, mm-hmm, or you see somebody isn't going to very strongly project themselves, so you like pull it, like,
yeah,
push yourself. Yeah, so I feel like we all do that, but what happened here is that we weren't very like upfront from the get-go. We kind of just let ourselves get comfortable, and it was that forced proximity because we kind of had to work with each other, and it was things that we didn't really know a lot about. So it's kind of like, because we were all kind of in a place of vulnerability, we all got comfortable with each other. But there are some groups that do not do that here.
Yeah. There's some groups that don't talk to each other at all. It's crazy.
It's really sad, actually.
I walk in the room and you're just sitting there.
I guess if I were to tell somebody, if somebody came to me and was like, man, I feel really bad because I don't want to be like these for the rest of my life. I want to see people who they really are.
That's too doggone bad.
Yeah, that's what I tell them. You're just a bad person. No. I'd be like, just force yourself to be around people that you don't expect yourself to be around.
Yeah.
Because honestly, a lot of my friends here, I get along better than my friends back at school, when I feel like I'd be more expect, like some of the theater kids, I feel like I'd be more expected to get along with them better, but I just don't. I vibe with the people here better. They're weirdos.
It's true. They are.
I just have here, be aware of your privilege, because we were talking about this with another person in our group. Mm-hmm. And I was like, hey guys, what's worse? A person that knows they're really privileged and exploits that privilege, or a person that doesn't know they're privileged and like can accidentally get privileges sometimes? And I said
that I feel like the person that doesn't know they're privileged is worse, because if you know you have privilege and you're exploiting your privilege, at least you know that you didn't really do anything to get to where you are. But the people that don't know they're privileged feel like they are on top of the world, they worked as hard as they possibly could, and now they're making 7 figures a month because of all the hard work they've done, when really it's not that, it's privilege. You can't really stop being privileged. You could, but
I mean, if you chose to like get rid of that life and become a hermit in the woods, then
yeah,
yeah.
Isn't a hermit a crab?
A hermit is a crab, because a hermit is like somebody that shuns themselves away from society and looks within themselves, and then a hermit crab also shuns themselves away from society. And I don't know if they look within themselves, but they're shunning away.
Don't they live in their shell?
Yeah.
So they do live within themselves.
They live within themselves, but are they reflecting upon themselves? Are they looking for the meaning of life? That's the real question you need to ask yourself here.
As a hermit.
That's a hermit.
As a hermit crab, are you looking for the meaning of life? Like him.
Yeah. I feel like I want to add a footnote that if you're somebody that maybe hasn't been aware of your privilege in the past, or I don't know, you just haven't been aware, and now you're like, oh, I feel really bad about this. It depends on how you were raised, I feel like. Mm-hmm. For example, I feel like I've been raised very privilegedly. I don't think that's a word, but because even though I'm an immigrant, I pass off as white. And so people often don't, and I don't have an accent either. So people are like full on American right there, through and through.
It's my kind of person.
Exactly. Yeah. So I look white, and then also, you know, I'm fortunate that my dad has the job he does, because I get to live in a really nice neighborhood, and I, you know, don't have to worry about money that much. And I feel like there are some people that are also in my position that don't know how privileged they are, and even I don't know the extent of my privilege because I've never been on the other side. In terms of privilege, I feel like a lot of people don't know, but then they become aware of it, and I feel like they either feel really bad and then develop a white savior complex.
Oh, yeah.
Or they're the other person that starts exploiting it. So me and Akai here are kind of on the same boat. But if you're somebody that struggles with that and would want to hear more about how to deal with that or what your perspective on that is, then please, I don't know, email one of us. You can just type in our names into the student email thing.
And we will save your life.
His first name's, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. His first name is Nakuri, N dash, and then?
Apostrophe.
You're right. Apostrophe, K-U-R-I. And he's probably the only person in the district named that.
Yeah, it'd be pretty easy to find me.
And then for me, I'm Isabella with the two L's. And then Para, which is P-A-R-R-A. And then I should come up. And email us or email one of our co-hosts, Esperanza Flores.
There's going to be like 300 Isabellas, maybe 20 Esperanzas. It's going to be hard to dig.
And then Kemnor, which is one. There's only one. She is one of a kind in this whole district.
One of one. Why didn't I get that treatment when you were saying, nah, you're cool?
Because you're sassy.
My name is literally one of one, Akai. It literally is.
Kemnor. K-E-M-N-O-R. So contact us and tell us, even if it's not about that, just tell us what you'd want to hear more about. Because I am interested in how do you help somebody that doesn't think the way I do. So contact me. That'd be nice.
Give us advice.
We'd love to have you on the podcast. And because this podcast is supposed to help you guys. And oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Are we okay? Am I? It's supposed to help you guys and what we can do for teenagers. So yeah. Are we going to get copyrighted?
No.
Okay.
This has been Nakuri Brisbane and
Isabella Paralamboya.
And you're watching Pair to Pair Podcasts.